This spring at Two Rivers, we are doing a string of messages we're calling Open. And throughout this series, we're taking time to track the story of God and the story of God's activity in each of our lives. We're also encouraging one another to become more open with others about our spiritual journey. And it's been right along the lines with what the Apostle Paul wrote in this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, this gospel, but also our own lives, too." So we shared the good news and we shared our lives. As Andrea mentioned last week, this path towards openness can happen in a couple different realms of relationship. On one hand, we want to become more open with those of us right around us, right here in church. Being known and authentically loved by others is just a huge part of what Christian community is meant to be about. But on the other hand, we also want to become more open in our relationships outside of church, with our friends and family and coworkers, neighbors, all that kind of thing. When we experience the goodness and the grace of knowing and following Jesus, we just want to have that naturally overflow into all of our other relationships. And so that's what we're talking about in this series. With all that in mind, particularly this week and next week, we're going to be dialing in on these outward expressions of being open. Exploring ways that God can use us, He can use our stories, He can use us in relationships, and the good news of His kingdom to help bring and connect new people to faith in Christ. Now, for many of us, that kind of idea can be a little scary, maybe a little daunting. I want you to listen to this from the individual guide. We have these individual guides that we're using for this series. And so if you're new at this, just hearing about this today, we've got a number of those back in the resource corner. You can pick that up as well. But this is from the individual guide that talks about the subject of sharing our faith, of evangelism. Most of us like to keep things surface level. We might share that we go to church, but actually opening up and talking about God is something that most of us avoid. When we're told that we're supposed to do evangelism, we tend to agree in principle, but there's so much baggage. Evangelism, i.e. sharing your faith, has become this creepy thing that only angry people with hand-painted signs and bullhorns do. It's something that feels, or maybe is, maybe against the rules to do at work or in public. And for a lot of us, it's something that we don't feel smart enough to do right. Or it's a sales pitch that feels kind of weird to do with friends. It goes on and says, but sharing your faith, it isn't as complicated as we've made it out to be. It's simply doing what the name implies. Sharing with a small circle of friends your experiences with God. To share with them that sometimes you hurt. Sometimes you doubt. To open up about the times that God has rescued you and the times He felt distant to you. You don't have to convince your friends to love Jesus. You just have to open up and to tell them your story. So hopefully that helps to bridge some of that gap of some of the fear. We'll talk about that a little bit more throughout the message. As I mentioned, each week in this series, we've been having a different person from our church share a little bit of their testimony about their journey of faith. And so this morning, one of our awesome college students, Emily Ford, is going to be sharing with us. And so, actually, we hadn't announced this yet, but we're still working on some details, exactly what this is going to look like. But heading into next fall, Emily's actually going to begin interning with us here at Two Rivers. And so we're super excited about that. And so, she's been one of the awesome students that we've had connect with us over the couple of years. So, Emily, why don't you come on up? And she's going to share a bit of her journey with us. And then I'll finish up with some steps that we can take towards becoming more open and the ways that God can use that to draw new people to faith. Do you want to sit down? You want to stand? Cool. There you go. Tell us a little bit about your story.
I forgot that.
Hi. Well, it's funny because when Brian asked me to talk about open spirit and a bit on evangelism, my outward response was, "Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it." And my inward response was like, "Oh my gosh." I don't evangelize. I like when I think about it, I'm like, evangelism is exactly kind of what he spoke about before. It's like people out in the middle of the street shouting the gospel, or like people healing other people with like miraculous wonders and like signs from the Lord and like fire falling from the, I don't know, it's like huge in my head. And, you know, I have some pretty awesome talents, like I'm a lumberjack and I can make really good waffles. But, you know, what like the stereotype evangelism just doesn't ever really fit in my mind. So then I had to shift my perspective because I didn't want to like talk to you guys about something that I don't really feel comfortable with, kind of. And the only way to do that is I was praying about it, and I'm like, Lord, what is this evangelism thing? And his response is, evangelism is simply living the way that Jesus is calling you to live every day. Which means that you're seeking and you're knocking and you're asking and you're walking through the doors that the Lord puts in front of you. And sometimes they're scary, but you just keep walking anyway. Sometimes it does call us out, or God does call us out, to talk to our friends about uncomfortable situations and such. Whatever. But he also did this to the disciples. Raising the dead, healing them as well. And walking on water, which last time I checked, I don't do very well. I sink pretty easily. But, you know, I realize also as writing this, it's not really my position to preach to you guys this morning. So I'll just tell you a little bit about me. I'm Emily Ford, and most people know me as Emily Ford, not just Emily. And I'm a geology major at Gustavus. I love rocks a lot. It's kind of weird. I'm an RA. I hang out with campus ministries, and I love to worship, and I love to pray, and pray, and pray a lot. A lot, a lot. And ever since I was little, when I was in the church, I was known as the church kid, or like the Bible banger, or like all these great, awesome words that I got. And I was known as Paula Ford's daughter, because my mom was a church lady. I spent more hours at church than I did like hanging out as a little kid, and I loved it. I loved hanging out with Jesus. I loved reading his word. I wanted to know it. And I wanted to say it, even when people looked at me like I was crazy, because I was like 8. I'm like, well, this is still awesome. But that doesn't mean I wasn't like a normal kid. Like, I'm not going to tell you about this awesome kid who never did anything wrong. I still lied. I still cheated. I still stole. As a teenager, I still went through the whole depression, who am I stage, even though I kind of found my identity in Christ. My mom was a huge part of this as well, since she was a church lady, but we're not the only two in our family. So I'll introduce you to the rest of my family. My parents got divorced when I was 5, so my father, he tried really hard to be a good dad, and I really respect him for it. But when you're into drugs and alcohol, it's really hard to be a good dad. And so there'd be nights when my mom would say to us, well, come on, girls, we have to go find where dad is tonight, and we have to go pick him up. And so he was kind of a dad. So that's my dad. And because of that, and many years later, my sister, who's awesome and older than I, never really had good memories of him, ever. And she tried to find love from a father in other places through alcohol and drugs and other guys. And she had a horrible temper. And she never wanted to talk about our family, ever. So we didn't. But she loved me so much. She would protect me from anything that, like the flack coming from the divorce. She would make sure I was distracted, that I was doing something else, that I didn't hear mom and dad screaming, blah, 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 the entire whole 9 yards. And she'd take all the heat so that when I got older, I wouldn't remember it. And I really don't. But she does. As for me, I was a pretty good kid. But I too was looking for love in all the wrong places. I ended up in a relationship with another girl from my church, and it was rough, and I had horrible anger issues. I think I owe my mom at least like 4 or 5 wooden doors from when I was younger. And I would like sneak out, like hang out with my friends, and then take my mom's car drag racing down I-94, and just like, I was a really good kid on the outside, but on the inside, kind of fallen apart. And my mom. I don't know if any of you guys are single parents. If you are, thank you so much. Because I think being a single parent is the hardest thing. And the Lord definitely kept my mom in check and kept her sane. Because raising two girls who just want to fight all the time and fight the world and not love on anybody is hard. And having a husband who is gone and you don't know where he is hard. And without her, I probably wouldn't be alive, partially for a couple reasons, but mostly because she just loved us so much. No matter what my sister and I would do, at the end of the day, she'd say, I love you guys, even when we didn't want to hear it, every day. So even if you're a single father, still kudos to you. I think it's amazing. So here we have four broken characters, kind of all under one roof. And sometimes I try to think, why, God, did you bless my family so much? Because in the midst of it, you're like, oh my gosh, God, help me out. So years down the road, only a couple years down the road, about my teenager-ish age, I'm like, all right, God, now what? And he called on me. I'm pretty sure my hand was not raised. You know, like when the... you know when the teacher does that to you in class? And you're like, I don't know the answer, I don't know the answer, I don't know the answer. And they're like, oh, Emily, what's the answer? You're like, God did that. And I'm like, Lord, okay, well, what do you do? He's like, I want you to stand in the gap for your family. And it's only funny because I was a teenager trying to be a rebel. Right, so I'm going to do that. Let's stand in the gap, God. Sweet. And by this time in my life, like even though I had really enjoyed hanging out with God and like reading my Bible, God and I weren't really like best buddies anymore. I was in this same-sex relationship in my church, like kind of just running around wherever, and Lord only knows where everybody else was in my family. But I ended up standing in the gap anyway after a lot of wrestling with the Lord. So what did God do? He snatched me up, and he sent me to a summer camp for 4 years. In a row, where I would spend day after day for 7-ish weeks in the woods alone, splitting wood, all by myself, from morning to evening. And during that time, he's like, I'm going to teach you how to worship me and love awesome little children who need to be loved. And that's all I did. I also met really cool people there who taught me how to pray and intercede for my family and how to stand in the gap. He didn't just like leave me all willy-nilly by myself, because that would have sucked. And so I learned this, and all I would do all day long is wake up, split wood, sing praises to the Lord, eat lunch, pray to the Lord, go back and sing more praises. For 4 years! The Lord like took me out of the water I was drowning in, ripped me out of the water, threw me on dry land, gave me a towel, and he's like, here, dry off, now follow me. I'm like, all right, because I really don't have any other choice. But it wasn't only for me, it was for my family. Yeah, I got out of this relationship, I found who God was, and devoted my life to him so that hopefully my family might be saved. So my sister, who I still love, and who is still alive, found boxing. Good. It was great. She mentored teens who went through the same thing as her, usually divorced parents or they don't have any parents, and they just need an anger outlet. It's amazing. They just latched onto her like none other. They should, because she's a great sister. She spent many, many years protecting me from the flack from the divorce, and I was so excited, now looking back on it, that the Lord called me out to help guard her heart. Later on, I think the freshman summer of college, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. and it was awesome. And the Lord totally has her heart now. He's taken her out of this whole thing. There's no more drugs, no more alcohol excessively, and just no more guys. She's living the dream. She's a police officer for St. Louis Park, and she's doing wonderful things with her life. And I never would have thought that, and no one else really did either, except for God. The Lord ripped her out of the water, threw her on land, and said, come follow me. And she said, okay, because I don't really have a choice. As for my dad, he ended up in jail several times throughout, after my parents were divorced and blah, 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 in and out, wherever. And the last couple of times, this was when I was in college, he ended up in jail again. And I'm like, all right, Lord, we're going to make this work this time. And so I prayed. And while he was there, he was healed. Pastors came and they did like this prayer ministry there. And his back has been hurting for like 4 or 5 years. Like we're pretty much laborers in our family. All we do is like laborious work. And he couldn't do it because his back was in so much pain. And these guys came and they healed him. He called me and he described to me. He's like, I found God. I'm like, yes, I'm glad you get it. This is great. And then he got out of jail, and I'm like, no, God, he's not supposed to be out. So I prayed him back in. And the Lord responded. And it wasn't, and he ended up back in jail, not for wrong reasons. It wasn't even his fault. And I'm like, Lord, this is exactly how I envisioned it. And now he's doing the job he loves the most. He's putting up railroad tracks and working on railroad cars, and he's loving it. He's been clean for multiple months now, and we get to stay in contact with him. And when we talk to him on the phone, he sounds like a real man, like a real human being, not a zombie, which is awesome, and I'm loving it. The Lord ripped him out of the water, threw him on land, and said, come follow me. And he really didn't have any other choice. So, and as for my mom, she's still my mom. And I think she thanks the Lord every day for this calm water that she's been given. And she has not changed a bit. She still loves us more than anybody else I've ever met. Like, the Lord called out our whole family. And for anybody else's family, if this story sounds familiar to you, the Lord's calling out your families too. So now I'm in college, I'm 20. Our family is kind of on this awesome brink of peace, but he still calls me out every stinking day to pick up what I have and follow him, to stand in the gap. To stand in the gap for my family is hard, and it's hard for your own family. There's nights where I still sometimes think, I used to think more like, God, why don't you just take my dad to heaven and it'll be awesome. It'll be great. False, it wouldn't be awesome. Or like, oh God, why doesn't Shantae just see you or hear you the way that I do? And there'll be nights still where I'm just tired of praying. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't see anything happening. But he reminds me every day when he calls me out to do different things that he hears our prayers and he remembers us and our entire families. So currently, he is calling me here with an internship, which sometimes can be still very scary because I don't know what I'm getting myself into. He's called me on several mission trips in the past and coming up to just unknown lands I never thought would be possible. He's also calling me to share my faith with others, to be vulnerable, open with all of you guys, which is something I usually don't do very well, for all you guys who know me. And my family's alive and prospering, and all I can say to that is hallelujah. And the Lord's arm is never too short. And he always, always hears our prayers. So that's me.
Cool. Hey, would you just share one story? I just had Emily over the other night, and she was just sharing some stories of how God's been kind of just giving her like these little nudges to step out in some ways that get her out of her comfort zone and everything. So why don't you share one story about how God's been doing?
Yep. So when I came to college, I knew the Lord, and I'm a church kid still, and I love it. But I didn't realize exactly that much that other people didn't, even if they were raised in Christian homes or whatever that is. So I met a friend, and she's great. And one night, my freshman year, she came up and like chatted with a friend and I in our section or hall or whatever you want to call it. And the Lord's like, hey, hang out with her. I'm like, Lord, I don't even know who this is. What? And she kind of just like laid out her whole life. And I'm like, oh, man. Okay. And the Lord had me like walk her back to her room, and she just spilled everything. Okay, we had known each other for a solid day, maybe. We'll say that. That's being really liberal. And the Lord's like, I want you to just minister to her heart and show her who I am. I'm like, you remember when I told you guys about this whole evangelism thing and I don't do it very well? That's what the Lord was calling me to do. And so I would just listen. And then the Lord would tell me something and I would tell it to her. And I would pray for her. And it was awkward because, especially growing up Lutheran or like in kind of a home setting like that, where it's not very common, where people like hear from the Lord and those people are crazy-ish. It's kind of weird to tell somebody that, hey, I heard this from the Lord. This is what's on his heart for you. And so for the past 3 years or so, it's just been like continuing that over and over again. And just like, this is what's on the Lord's heart. This is what's on the Lord's heart. And I believe it was last year she was baptized. And to me, I'm like, God, that's one out of the 99 that you went back for. And if that's evangelism, I'll raise my hand every time, you know, if it's just that one person. And so I think that's the one story.
Say thanks again. Man, isn't it a blast to just hear everybody's stories each week? Yeah, it's so cool. So we're going to have another one of our Gustavus students here next week, and then a couple more weeks. Why don't you go ahead and kill the AC? I think I see a few people shivering. We got to cool down a little bit. So cool. Well, hey, let me just finish up with a few steps that we can take to become more open in our lives with one another about spiritual things. So here's three things that come to mind. First one is simply a reiteration of the main themes that we've been talking about throughout this whole series. We're talking about being real and honest. We can be real and honest. There's tremendous power in each of us doing that with our stories, being real and honest. When you're open about where you are, where you've been, where you're headed, not only do people actually get a chance to see the real you, they get to see the real God at work in your life. Think about, again, all these encouraging stories these past few weeks. When we're open about our spiritual journey, that becomes this huge inspiration to others, encouraging them to be open up about their lives, to realize that you and I, we all have a story, and it's unique as every one of us is. So we can discover that, and we can share that. So we want to be real and honest about our lives. We also want to be real and honest about our hope. I love this verse from 1 Peter 3, verse 15. It says, always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The other day I was chatting with our current intern, Ruthie, about some interesting things happening around her in her graduate school program. Ruthie is, I think, the only open follower of Jesus kind of in her section of people that she hangs out with. And at times that's really difficult, but it's also made for some really interesting conversations. Many of Ruthie's professors and fellow students, they've had these preconceptions about who Christians are, what Christianity is all about. You've run into that before, you know, where, you know, all these different stereotypes. And we've done plenty, I think, as Christians to project that. It's been a bit confusing to these friends, though, confusing in a good way, because Ruthie's debunked so many of these different stories and stereotypes. And she's just open and honest about who she is, what she believes. And this verse says, where her hope comes from. Let's open up these doors for conversation that she never really thought would ever come. Here's another way that we can be honest in our story and be real. We can be honest and real in our story about our fears, about our doubts, about our struggles. It can be tempting to just want to show the pretty upside of us or the altogether nature of our faith journey. But I mean, for any of us, that's not the whole picture, is it? I mean, all of us have bumps and bruises and warts and failures. And that's part of the hope of the gospel, is that God reaches down and He finds us and He lifts us up out of that. All of us doubt, all of us have fear, all of us face battles that we're overwhelmed with at times. Okay, so no, just in the details, we're not going to share all of that with everybody that we meet, okay? Like it wouldn't be appropriate in a relationship. But as we see opportunities and as we recognize safe friendship building between us and others, when we're real about our struggles and the way that we're looking to God to meet us in those, that can be amazingly powerful. It's a huge part of what we're talking about in living these open kind of lives. Okay, so that's the first step. Be real and honest. Here's the second thing that we can do about becoming more open in our relationships. We want to be aware and responsive. See some of that, even just in that last story that Emily shared about this college friend. You know, only had known her a day, and all of a sudden she recognizes, man, something's going on here. Like, she's opening up. She's been honing the sensitivity, these nudges of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we want to be able to do. I want to read two scriptures to you, and they touch on this point, on this being aware and responsive, and also the goes along with the third step I want to cover in a moment. So the first one's from Mark 6. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 6 or 7 here. It says, then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. And he told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. And he allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Verse 10, he says, wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or to listen to you, just shake the dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. Verse 12, so the disciples went out, telling everyone that they met to repent of their sins and to turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. So in this passage, we see Jesus beginning a transition with his followers. Up to this point in the gospel stories, it had just been Jesus that was preaching and teaching and healing and ministering and praying and caring. The disciples were just kind of tag-alongs, and they were just watching all of this. But it comes this turning point where Jesus says, now you guys, you go do the very same things. I'm going to give you my power and my authority. Go in my name and start doing this very same things that I'm doing. And so it starts with the 12, but it doesn't stop there. Move on to Luke 10. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Verse 8, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. So again, first it was Jesus, then it was the 12, then it was the 72. Do you see where this is going? You know, later in the Matthew and then in the book of Acts, we see the whole church being released to just continue the very things that Jesus was doing. He wants every one of us to become aware of the Holy Spirit's work in the world. and to be responsive, to play a part in God's good news, the gospel, going forth. So I mentioned at the beginning of the message, for many of us, that can be a pretty daunting idea, right? I mean, scary thinking about actually talking to somebody else about Jesus. Well, let me give you a quick thought that may help help you have the courage to begin to respond. I want to encourage you to become aware of what Mike Breen, author, he calls persons of peace. This is mentioned here in the Luke 10 passage. So often when people hear a challenge towards sharing their faith with others, they immediately think that they have to try and reach the most hardened anti-Christian person that they know, right? Or that you have to randomly approach strangers and tell them about Jesus, okay? Now, God may end up calling you or challenging you some creative things like that, but most of the time, it just happens in the midst of relationship. Now, God could ask you to do those things, but most of the time, it's what I described with Ruthie and what Emily shared. We have people in our lives that we're beginning to build relationship with. Most of the time, we actually like them, and we want to see good things happen in their lives. And so over time, we just begin to see ways that some of these friends are open. They're persons of peace, like it talks about in Luke 10. And when that door opens, all we do is we just walk through it. We see an open door. We say, hey, that person is a person of peace. There's something happening here. I'm going to respond and step in. I love the instructions that Jesus gives his followers. He says, if you extend peace to someone and they don't respond, no worries. You don't have to break down their door. Just go extend peace to another person or to another. It's really simple. Okay, we don't have to manufacture something. We only need to become aware and responsive to those nudges of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we become aware, and as we see that, we step into it, trusting God to show up like only He can. Okay, so we talked about being real and honest, becoming aware and responsive. Here's the third step I want to put before you today. A third way we can become more open with others around us is to be bold and intentional. And this comes from the final instructions that Jesus gives his followers there in Luke 10. He says, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what's offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. So there's multiple levels that we can engage with this in this boldness and intentionality. One level is to do exactly what Jesus just said here, okay? To pray for sick people, pray for those dealing with spiritual oppression. Be intentional to step out into some of these crazy situations. Ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's a key way that God often opens up doors for sharing our faith and for people to come into relationship with Jesus. Think about Emily's dad's story, right? He got prayer for his back. God showed up, and he's like, I got to do something about this. God is the one that ultimately does that work of salvation. He ignites faith in our hearts, but somehow in his divine wisdom, He's chosen to use us as some kind of an avenue, a means to be able to have people experience Him. And so along these lines, just with this specific charge that Jesus gives us, I know that there are a number of you that God has been knocking on your door about this. And maybe you've done some of this before. Maybe you've prayed for sick people before. Maybe you've reached out in some crazy, like unexpected ways. Maybe you've never done that before, but you believe that God's starting to ask you to do that. Okay, if that's the case, go for it. That may not be everybody, okay? But if God's pushing you towards that, step out and do that. In a more general sense, anytime we become aware of need in a friend's life or somebody that we know, that can be an opportunity to do three things: to pray, to care, and to share. We can pray, we can care, and share. It doesn't have to be that they're dealing with terminal cancer. It could be that they're just really stressed this week. They're dealing with a family situation. They're going through a situation with one of their kids. You know, their car broke down. You know, just any kind of a thing that comes up that we can have an opportunity to pray, to care, and to share. And so here's the main challenge that I want to put before you this morning. I want to challenge us to look to God, to look for God to put unexpected opportunities before us to pray for people. When those come up, any variety from just like a real small level thing to really big stuff, when someone shares a need, that we can step into that open door and simply ask, would you mind if I just pray for you right now? Can I pray for you? You know, maybe you want to do that right there. You do that really quick, 15, 20 seconds. Maybe if it's not the right situation right then, you can take back and pray for them another time. Again, that could be a physical healing need, could be another need. But as you hear about that, simply step in to care for that person and offer to pray for them. Again, like, don't take 10 minutes, you know? Like, that would be weird, okay? You know? Just bless them. Just bring their need honestly before God and say, Jesus, would you just be good and generous to them right in this spot? And if God does something right then and there, it's likely that you're going to have an opportunity to share further with them. But even if nothing discernible happens, the worst case scenario most of the time is that person feels cared about. So we step in. So again, we want to give people an opportunity to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the reality that God answers prayer. And as part of that, we just trust that the Holy Spirit will open doors for us to share the good news of Jesus. So just a moment, I'm going to close here, and I want to lead us in a prayer where we can tell God that we're up for the challenge, that we're up for being willing to be open. Open up to Him and to others in ways that we're talking about this morning. And so I just want to tell you, nobody's going to make you do this. Like, this is totally up to you. You don't have to, like, you can just consider this. But I know there's a number of us that, as I'm talking about this, you hear Emily's story this morning. As you hear the different things that we're talking about, you just know, like, this is something that I want to be part of my life. I want just to be this regular thing for me to be aware and responsive to the work of the Holy Spirit. If you're on the fence this morning, I want to just encourage you with a final scripture. It's likely that, you know, we can get fear. We can think, well, what if nothing happens when I pray? What if the other person thinks I'm a weirdo wacko? You know, it is totally natural to feel all those things. And in fact, even the greatest heroes of faith experienced the very same thing. So I want to invite you to stand, and I want to have us read this closing scripture. We'll go back into some final song of worship. And also some time to just wait before God in prayer. So this final scripture, I want us to read this out loud. Why don't you click there? Can we go to the scripture, please? There we go. Cool. Okay, let's read this aloud together. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Next slide. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. You know who wrote those words? That's the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote half of the New Testament, you know? The guy that planted probably dozens and maybe even hundreds of churches around the Middle East and the Mediterranean area 2,000 years ago. He says he was trembling in weakness and fear. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Right? You know, and so this is what all of us go through as we think about opening up our lives. You know, and maybe even you're here this morning and you're not even really sure what you think about Jesus, about Christianity. It's totally cool for you to be open about that as well. You know, we just want to step in to these places of being open and just ask God to come and to be who He is uniquely. So let's pray. Let's pray. God would work with us in the midst of our weaknesses, our fear, and our trembling. And let's ask God to open up opportunities for His kingdom to come through us this week.